Yes, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You know, sometimes people read the Bible and they find what they call inconsistencies. You know, because in one place he said, "Where's your faith? Just do it." And in another place he said, "Ask and keep on asking." I've decided that the Bible has a lot of opportunities and I'm going to use them all. You know? Because if I hold out the staff and it don't work, I'm going to keep on asking. Even though I believe it's working. I'm going to keep on praying. And this week, after we received a text from John and I was looking at that, and it just all of a sudden it became clear we've been under attack. But you know something? When you trust God, it doesn't seem like it's so much attack. Something comes, we pray, we rejoice, we praise. You know, and so it's like a mosquito in the night. You know. You slap until you get it. But still, you know, just like I said, my goodness, we've been under attack. I love it and I hate it, okay? I love the fact that even though we've been under attack, we haven't been going, "Oh God, we're under attack." We are, yes, we call on God, but you know, Moses, when he was calling on God, he was calling on a God partly out of frustration, partly, "Look, if you don't do something, we're going to look like idiots here." And it's almost like God said, "Well, do you think I'm going to let you look like an idiot? I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. I started this, I'll complete it." And this week is a week to remember. This is Holy Week. Well, again, we sort of have been inclined to think for just about 40 years that every day is a holy day. But still, as I considered this week to remember, I see a lot of stuff that we learn from it by Jesus' example. That's the best way for us to learn, is to learn from his example. You can get the information from what you hear in teachings, preachings, and all of that. You can get the information. We can even get the information in prayer. But for it to become transforming, we have to work it out. I think most of us were in church. Most of us were in church growing up. Whether, if no other thing, Christmas and Easter. You know? I think that I can remember that I probably had the black chalk on my head as a kid. I'm not positive. I think probably so. I think we did that. Mary affirms, yes, we did. Okay. So, see, I don't remember a lot, but you know, and we heard about it, and we sang, you know, we sang the triumph songs of Jesus marching in, and we sang, "Were you there when he crucified the Lord?" We sang those things, so I knew about those things as far as informationally, but they hadn't become life-giving yet. Not until I believed them. And so I considered, I would say it would have to be God if it was wisdom at all, so I'll say it was wisdom. But when you think about Jesus coming and standing on the mount, and he already knows everything about what's going to go on. He's got the information. And before he goes down there, he's up there saying, I called out to you and you wouldn't hear me. His heart is broken, not for himself, but for them. A cry in his heart that he's about to go through something, you know. Are there ever things that you know need to be done that you aren't really looking forward to? You know? And those things, God shows us, Jesus shows us that we can be okay doing them. Now, we all have things that maybe we think are just part of our life, and they are part of our life. You know, a confrontation or whatever the case might be that we need to do and we aren't necessarily excited to do, but if we've decided that we need to do them, we need to do them. We hope they turn out the way we hope they turn out. And so, even though we're not positive, we got to give it a try. Or there are some things that we feel led by the Lord to do that we just got to trust the Lord with, that we see absolutely no way it's going to work out, but God wants us to do it. That person that needs to be witnessed to, that we know needs to be witnessed to, that when we know that they need to be witnessed to, there they are. But there's a Red Sea between us and that witness. You know, it might be one more step into a conversation, but it looks like a Red Sea. Like, this probably isn't the time. And those are one of those times where we probably better use the picture Vicki gave us and hold out the staff to say those things that the Spirit of the Lord would have us say. Even if we're not sure. Jesus had been, we've been with him. He's been talking about what's going to happen. Now he's going down in and he's still got that anointing for care and compassion for the people and no unforgiveness in his heart. And he's going in and we know that pretty soon in this week he's going to wash the feet of one who's going to deny him three times, one that's going to betray him, and the rest of them are going to run. And he doesn't wash their feet thinking, yeah, I know what you're thinking. I know what you'll actually do. No, he washes their feet because he wants to serve them no matter what they're going to do. It's like that person that pats you on the back when you know they've been bad-mouthing you. And in your heart, you're just receiving that with like such compassion. No, you're receiving that. Like, I know what you said. I know exactly what you said. No, that wasn't how Jesus was feeling at all. He shows us how we can make it through those things. Where we can be determined to not only cheer him as he comes in, but we're going to cheer him when the others are saying, crucify him. We're going to stand. Folks, we need to be, this is a great lesson in standing. We need to stand. We got a world that thinks we can't stand. We got a world that thinks all those confused, immoral, reprobate people have all the say. That's what they are. They're demon-possessed. You know? I read something this week. Somebody asked, and it was like, well, they're catching up with me. I'm just kidding. But, no, I said, I thought that. I actually thought that. Because they had an article about, can Christians be demon-possessed? And remember what we've been saying forever? Let's not argue semantics. If they need deliverance, they need deliverance. Well, this person said, they can't be possessed, but that doesn't mean they can't possess a demon. You know? We don't want to be friendly But we know that people can be friendly with demons even if they're not demon-possessed. So all of these people might not be demon-possessed, but man, they are holding tight to a demon. And their eyes are blinded and their ears are plugged. They can't hear, because if they could, they would look and they would say, "What are we doing?" And we say by faith in the Lord, they're going to know. They're going to know. They're going to see. They're going to hear. They're going to be exposed, and they're either going to move in or they're going to be disposed of. But my goodness, Lord, help them. What kind of torment does a person have to live in? I know that when a person is in sin and they know that they're in sin, that isn't enjoyable. You have to be really, really messed up to testify to your sins. To give testimony. But I probably did that. Boy, did we have a time! Even if I wasn't proud of it. Because all of that, the misery slips in. You know? God doesn't leave us totally truthless. Because he wants to see us saved. You know? And so Jesus shows us. He shows us how to overcome. He shows us in the garden when he was praying and he was agonizing. You know, we've all had some agony in our life. But we can't begin to understand the agony that he had. How difficult to be humble, to submit yourself to that when you know that with a word you could sort out every bad apple, drop them like a bad habit. You could give a heavy-duty cattle prod to those who have gone from cheering to cursing, you know. It could be like with one word there would be multitudes fall dead. There would be others going, "Ah, I see the light." And yet he said not a word. He could have given a great oration when Pilate, you know, told him he had the power, and Jesus said, "Okay. Let me just get you a glimpse of the truth here." And he could have put off his crucifixion for 100 years just in that one sermon. You know? Because caterers could have showed up and fed the people while they sat and they listened and they shrunk. And some had an aha. He could have. He also showed us how, because when he came, and they deserted, and they betrayed, and they denied. He still had confidence. He and God had talked about it, that enough had been done, that it would last, that people would believe, and that everyone believed would be saved. And the only way that could happen was if he went to the cross. And he believed God, that God would raise him up. He had seen God raise people up. He had prayed for Lazarus, and Lazarus had raised up. He saw the proof. And he prayed for a little boy in a funeral procession, and he saw the proof. He trusted God. Jesus teaches us how to trust God this week. The thing that Jesus wants more than anything is that we learn the truth. If you'll just abide in me, and if you'll just let my words abide in you, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. One word changes lives, Jesus. His presence changes the atmosphere, Jesus. He helps us in everything. And when we don't understand, we just keep trusting God. As I said, we've been under attack. You've all had your own attacks, you know? Maybe you're under attack right here. That's one of the worst places to have an attack. And I don't mean your physical heart. I mean just your heart, just your faith, just your whole situation. It's easy to start looking at the situation and let the situation rule us rather than looking at the solver. And so whenever we catch ourselves looking at the situation, Jesus. I've been praying. This morning I prayed and I said, Jesus, you kissed my wife and the chains fell off. You know? I actually had a peculiar response to when we got the text from John, and I was thinking about Vicky and didn't know exactly what was going on with Vicky, you know? And honestly, sometimes when I hear those kind of reports, I sort of have things run through my head in preparation. Like things to say, things to this, things to that, you know? But for just a moment, I just had a... I never considered that. I buried a lot of people. No, I didn't bury them. I just had their services. And I love those, but I texted John. I said, you know, I've done that a lot, and it's not a big thing, but I've decided we all have to go together. You know, we need to go together. I know God gives me strength. He gives me wisdom. It would be glorious. Nah, let's go for the real glorious leaving, you know. But if we really are going to go for that really glorious leaving, then we need to get busy. Because there's a lot of people that need to know Jesus. Yeah. We've gained a couple of years, but we're not old, we're refined. And even though it seems like we don't have any time, we got a little time. We could, you know. My goodness, do you get those calls from people? Sometimes a real person calling to raise money or do this or do that. Most of the time it's a machine, but somebody has to start the machine. You know, do you get that? Those people have time. I've done the cold calling thing. Vicky has too. Calling through a grain elevator book, looking for people who will let you come and paint their grain elevator. You know? Just let me show up. I'll give you a bid, and you know, there's no obligation. I'll be coming by, I'm sure, because I'm going through the whole state. Well, if you want to, put it on the blue card. It's a possibility. How stupid was I? And I did that to my wife too. But you know what? Sometimes those people that you thought, I don't even want to go there, you stopped. They turned out to be pretty good. I got a picture over in my office of the biggest job that they did. And it was off of one of those where These people were in Illinois. They had a great big facility. They were way more important than I was. We ended up painting that baby. Got an aerial of it. Anyway, you know, these things, somebody needs to know Jesus. And that's why Jesus went into the town. That's why he washed the feet of betrayers, deniers, and chickens. Don't be a chicken. Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. The uglier it gets, the better he looks. The transformation. Hey, there's been witches transformed. There's been Satanists transformed. There's been every man. There's a testimony out there for everything. There's homosexuals that have been reformed. There's transgenders that have been reformed, and they've been crying out saying, "Don't do this to our children." We got them all covered. The worst thing they can bring up, God's reformed. Is that nothing? Go ahead, Lord. And then back, the Lord says, "Okay, help me. Help you. Yeah, help me." Since we've got the people from the women's prison up and I have them in chapel now, I see the same thing happening in the chapel room that I used to see when I went to the women's prison. Some of those confused people, they sit in the back so they can do like somebody in junior high at a movie theater. Get their arm back on the chair. I look at them and I smile at them. And God talks right straight to them. So that by the end of chapel, last Sunday, two in the back that were obvious, one that had her hair looking kind of funny, she pulled out that thing, let it down to look like the girl that she is. And the other one kind of leaned ahead so that her arm couldn't get by her and was listening. Transformation taking place. The truth will make them free. Jesus said, "Look, I'm going to go, but you're going to just be blessed to see how many people believe." You see, even though they ran, even though they denied, even though they betrayed, Judas is just always a problem to me. He felt bad enough to kill himself. You know? So he was not happy about the whole thing. He declared, I've shed innocent blood. Well, that's not our problem. Threw the money back at him. Didn't even get what he was going to get out of it. Oh, how Jesus loved him. Even though he knew that they would all do that, he knew they would come back, except for the one. And that these less than perfect disciples were going to change the world. He sent 12 out to practice holding the stick out. Then he sent 70 because he didn't want, I don't know, the 12 didn't need to be so big-headed about it. It's, you know, it's quite possible. They weren't perfect, so, you know, when other people were following saying, "Wow, the Lord has blessed us, he's given us authority." No, just, there was only 12 that he gave authority. Let's not get carried away. That lie has been tried to be perpetrated still to this time. There were only 12 that he gave that to. What do you do with the other 70? And with the 70, he showed us And he told us that multiplies into every single one who will believe. They went out. We're going to have to try this sometime. How about it, Christians? We just need to try this sometime. You know? We just need to try this sometime. I always tell people that I have an anointing for people who smoke. Because I had an obvious victory with one. And so I just tell the story of the one that was so obvious to anybody that will hear. And then I say, can I pray for you? And some will say, yes, I need that. And some will say, not yet. Okay, not yet. I've never had one say, oh, that's just, No. I've never had a denier. I've had more that were afraid that I might pray for them than I've had that said, yes, pray for me. You know, can I pray for you? Is that so difficult? No. See, we do that. Every one of us have probably done that. You know? And it isn't based on how much authority you think you have. It's just a willingness. Just a willingness. Jesus was willing to go to the cross. For you. For me. Talk about a dice toss. You know, it was like casting lots. I was like, for me, I was there this time, and this time, Roger, but I never gave up on you. When you were at your worst, I was still reaching out to you. I may not have been demon-possessed, but my wife was right. There was a devil in the house. I'm certain that I possessed a flock, chose them. Not sure that I named them. But I had my favorites, I'm sure. But Jesus set me free. And Jesus sets you free too. On a daily basis. On a daily basis. He can set us free from our fears, from our doubts, from our circumstances. Jesus. We sing, Jesus, just the mention of your name. You know, the flowers grow, deserts bloom again, like a fire in a winter storm, or winter cold, like pure and precious gold. Jesus. We learn to say Jesus. And if we don't say Jesus, then we say crucify him. That's an awful thought. That when I fail to call out for Jesus, it's sort of like hollering, crucify him. Because when we don't call out to Jesus, we have a moment where doubt has created a Red Sea between us. But he gives us discernment to go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I can't doubt. I can't doubt. I can't, I tell you, I can't doubt. Find a mirror, say, you can't doubt. Jesus! Yell it, whisper it, shout it, get the right blood flowing again. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Every moment that we hold on to doubt is just another second for him to pour in more, 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 more. You know? It's like they have an alarm that goes off in hell. We have a doubter. We have a doubter. We have a doubter. Get there quick. Get there quick. Get there quick. And here they're coming like crazy. And we're going, Jesus! Boldness strike at the demons. There's a lot more that we can learn. There's a lot more reminders to just lean into Jesus. To just remember, hey, he knows. He knows. He knows. He doesn't plan. He doesn't say, well, let's see. I'm going to give Vicky a little chance to grow. I'm going to give her one of those things. You know? I just give her one of those things. No. He didn't say, okay, it's time for Vicky Slicker to have one of those things. No. He doesn't plan it. But when they're planning it and when they're going to put it on, I got this. Last Sunday, Vicky said, by faith, I got this. We have to be careful. Boy, the devil looks for opportunities, doesn't he? Never, never stop declaring your faith boldly. Never, never, never. He's never going to let you down, and in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to let him down. Amen? When the crowd was yelling, crucify him, I'd have been there saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. Right? Absolutely. And when they were going to whip him, I'd have run in and laid over the top of him. And he said, only I can do this, Roger. Well, I just wanted you to know I cared. You know, sometimes I do. I just say, Lord, I know this, I know that. I know. I just want you to know I care. You know, he kind of thinks, he smiles a little bit like you do when I say things like that, Judy. You know, it's just like, you know, you have a relationship that won't end with him. And when everybody ran, knowing what I know, I wouldn't have ran. Isn't it interesting? One of them cut off the ear of one of the guards, and yet, whew, they were confused. Confused, 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 confused. Folks, are you ever confused? Just snow falling off the roof. If you're ever confused, Jesus is the answer. It's not the end of the world if you wonder why. Jesus is the answer. See, we've got that, oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah, Jesus. Oh yeah. What a week. What a life. What a life. What a life. Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the opportunities that we have to stand and to keep on standing with the full armor of God. Thank the Lord that you've told us. We can pray. We pray for every single person that believes first. And we pray for those that are about to believe, and we pray for those that are so deceived they think they'll never believe. We pray for all of them. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing it will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory, the worst looking week ever. Was leading to victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. Amen? Lord, bless these precious folks. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.